Hello folks, my name's Daniel. I have this desire to share some truth, some knowledge, in hopes that it would be beneficial to others. And one of my frustrations is that I just don't know where to begin. And so from this ramblings, I'm hoping that something will take shape and take form. Been on a quest in recent days. For most of my life, I was a Christian. I acknowledged my Christian walk perhaps when I was around about 25, as it became very real to me. And from 25 up to about 28, in those years, rooted with other circumstances, my Christian faith was very much alive. And then things, you know, as the sun is cooling down, the sun of my faith was starting to cool down and come back to a little bit of normality. I will admit some of my friends were rather worried about how far into it I got. Some of those things was mainly due to around anxiety, and my faith was, at the time, my only real solid foundation. My wife was ill, wasn't sure if she was going to be alive. Some serious family trauma, some of it self-inflicted from me and from others. Problems at work, it wasn't a good time. From the ages of 25 up to 28, maybe a little bit later. Anyway, so when things started to cool down and the dust was settling, as it were, I found myself having new desires and new curiosities, from looking at things to do with Buddhism. Well, I suppose Eastern philosophies. And from there, I suppose a real mixed match, bit of conflict arose from what was at the time deep-seated Christian doctrinal truths, foundational, to this new environment of where different outlooks, different viewpoints, different philosophies that my mind was agreeing to was in conflict with the old Christian stuff. And I don't think that's a lack of faith per se. I don't think that's a poor part of being rational. As I was getting to a point coming up to my early 30s now. I can't believe I'm going to be 31 this year. There are certain Christian doctrines and things that haven't been talked about in the church that were being talked about in various other philosophies and religions. For example, from my local environment, there was nothing really in regards to how do you deal with one's mental health, how do you deal with certain types of emotions, and how do you get free from them? Anything like that would come from, you know, in my local area, and certainly in the more popular mainstream Christianity, was more to do with prayer and hope. Nothing really practical, nothing really tangible. It was all very, it depends on your faith. And the problem with that is that if you lack faith, or do fall and stumble, you know, you let your anger get the best of you, or you do, or your anxiety and depression does overwhelm you, well, that's a lack of your faith, that's a downer on your part. So very human, very practical issues that unfortunately couldn't find, and still can't find, in my local area, the church. It's written in the Bible for sure. But the way to interpret those scriptures, the way to practice them, having references and guideposts in my circumstances, and still, unfortunately, is well, it's just not even there. And yes, of course, I did ask those questions, and the answers I got were, they just weren't satisfying. They weren't satisfactory. It was like it was a, some of the answers I would receive were just top of your head, you know, not really thought out, and certainly not authentic, haven't tried for yourself sort of answers. So my first experience of life on the outside of Christianity was Stoicism. And from what I understand, the Stoic philosophy is one of the roots for some modern psychological treatments like, what's it called? Cognitive behavior therapy. It's all about, for one, I suppose, in a general sense, Stoicism is all about what's in your control and what's not. Having the right perception, taking care of your mind, your rational thinking, really emphasizing on the things that you are in control of, being practical and telling you how to do it. And one could happily live in the Stoic world forever, really, when it comes to that. And I was deeply influenced by particularly Marcus Aurelius, but especially Seneca. Seneca, for me, was a bridge between what would later be the Western world of philosophy and the Eastern world of philosophy. Little did I realize a year into practicing Stoicism that Seneca was regarded in the Christian world as, at one point, would have been considered to be a saint. Big theologians like Martin Luther, John Calvin, who are massive in the Christian tradition that I personally follow, still, to some might be quite surprised, a very unpopular tradition, unfortunately, but one I believe to be the right way, or is closer to the right way for practicing real, authentic Christianity, is Calvinism. And yeah, Seneca, the way he wrote really spoke to me, particularly his book, Letters from a Stoic, and it's a Penguin edition, it's called The Shortness of Life. Put it in perspective that, you know, hey, come on, you haven't got time to waste, make the most of now. And I want to come back to that statement, make the most of now, because that was quite an integral part as well. That makes up now my spirituality. So yes, Seneca, massive influence. Marcus Aurelius, with his pithy statements and very short paragraphs, but filled with truth. Life experience. Things that you could just read over and over again. The Stoics have been very big for me, and have slotted in very nicely with certain Christian doctrines that I still hold to. So yeah, it's been very complimentary. So yeah, this word now, mindfulness, and it's taken a little bit of time to understand mindfulness. There is a new age interpretation of mindfulness that hasn't got anything to do with what I follow at the moment, along the lines of Buddhism and Tao. But mindfulness, this realization of life begins now, and life is here right now. It's not in the past, it's not in the present, and the concept of linear time, an illusion, and little insights like, you know, we all know this, but it just takes sometimes someone just to say it, just to be a guide, as a reminder, you know, that the past isn't real.
and the past is not objective. It's filled with your subjective thinking, your interpretation, your impressions. It's funny when we say things like, oh, life just flies by so quickly. And in one sense, that's true compared to maybe, I don't know, like a tree. You know, a tree usually lives longer than a human being. But it's funny when people say that because to them, life is only a matter of hours and seconds looking back on life. But actually, in reality, that's not the case. It's that we just don't have the capacity and ability to remember every single second of our lives. So what we do is look back in general, and yeah, it does feel very short, and it's certainly marred and dyed with our own subjectivity. And the future as well. Seneca would write, for example, that hope is in line with fear. That is, that if you get rid of hope, you'll get rid of unnecessary fear. We hope for a better outcome tomorrow, and there's nothing wrong with hoping, but let's not depend on hope, I would say, because the future is uncertain, and the future, again, isn't real. What is important is now. It's the causes, it's the sowing of what you do right now that will reap the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. And yeah, there's just so many psychological benefits to mindfulness. I remember as I was getting deeper into what would be seen as more Buddhist traditions, a man called Alan Watts, he was saying that if you really dig this concept of mindfulness, it would be that, you know, say you were doing the dishes, you have a whole pile on the left, and then you would find that on the right, you would just concentrate on one dish at a time and put one dish onto the right, one dish, so forth. And in this way, it was like less burdensome. It was in fact seen as you could actually enjoy it. You can actually play with it. So this concept of mindfulness is humongous. It's probably the bedrock of you know, Buddhism particularly. But I don't think I've explained it that well, but this is a very general way of things. I want it, things what I say, I want it to come out naturally, and I'm sure I'll pick up on different concepts as time goes on. So do bear with me. Anyway. Yeah, Alan Watts was saying that with mindfulness, because things become less burdensome in that sense, it harbors, it nurtures, inflames that opportunity and choice to enjoy what you do. So in my work life, for example, I'm a support worker. I work with people with learning disabilities and currently with people with mental health. And seeing it in that way, you can support a client with mental health as if you were dancing with the client and doing the paperwork. You know, yeah, there's lots to do for sure. That's right. But how you manage it and how you project your thoughts to it really does matter. So, you know, if I'm doing a folder, for example, and it's a big fat thesis of a folder talking about a client, rather than seeing some big burden chore, I do one page at a time. In this very present moment, it's only one page. And in that page, I'm going to write. And I'm not just going to write for the sake of writing. I'm going to write by willing myself, Stoic principles here, willing myself to enjoy it and finding meaning in what I'm doing right here. So it's having a full attention. And so currently I am in very engaged with Buddhist Tao philosophies and ideas. But I'm really digging this idea at the moment that unfortunately does come contrary to Christian doctrine, that rather than that we are all born into sin, we are born awakened, already born as Buddha, good. We have everything that we need right now within ourselves. It's just that ignorance and suffering has clouded our vision of such things. I am Christ, I am Buddha, I am God, and so are you. And as I've been studying a little bit deeper into Buddhist doctrine particularly, it's got to the point now where I've become a little bit more sociable than usual, which is strange for me because I do enjoy being a hermit. But I recognize that actually if I want to be happy in life, if I want to lessen my own personal burdens that causes pangs of anxiety and depression, I need to think about other people. And that, again, that's a very Christian principle as well. But the difference is, as well, is that with Buddhist and Stoic doctrine, for example, and certainly Tao, we are born for cooperation. We are born to work together. And we share in the same things. And we want, in general, generally the same things. That is, to be loved, to be happy, to have peace. But with the Christian doctrine, unfortunately, or perhaps how it's presented and how I've experienced it through the teaching of the church life that I've been in, it's more about the world is going to turn against you. The world is evil. The world is full of sin and darkness. And, you know, I remember, for example, it was very traditional and popular to say things like, you know, light can't mix with darkness, so therefore you cannot date a Christian girl. You can't date a non-Christian girl, or you can't be married to a non-Christian girl. And the Bible does say things like make no friendship with the world because that makes you an enemy with the Father. I think that's found in 1 John. Now, we can interpret these things to be exactly like that, that actually for the Christian, it's not having anything to do with this world, that we somehow disconnect with society. And that is the case of what actually happens for many churches and for individual Christians. Some Christians don't even go to church because they can't even connect with Christians themselves because of the sin culture or whatever. But I don't think that's the case, but I'm not sure how to interpret it or how to go about it. And it's not very popular to talk about it either. Like the opposite of, well, actually, like, for example, the one church I was in, I got like, 18 churches maybe at least in Bridgewater? Maybe a little bit less. Maybe I'm being a bit too exaggerative. But one church in Bridgewater, for example, would say, oh no, you can't go to the other person's church. You know, you can't have 2 feet. You can't have 1 foot in two camps, sort of thing. Why not? At the end of the day, aren't we all brothers and sisters in Christ? And that was kind of the popular thing. But yeah, so yeah, right now where I'm at with things is that I recognize that there are things in me which I have been searching for, thought I was lacking, but it is not the case. I already have them within me. And it's a matter of waking up, becoming Buddha. Buddha, it means to be awake. So through meditation, through reading of Christian scripture, Buddhist philosophy, doctrine, Stoic principles, I've created myself something that I think has caused quite a lot of conflict within me and some conflict with others. But I believe what I'm heading towards, well, heading towards, am I? Rather, what I'm nurturing, what I'm sowing and daily ploughing the field is something that I think will be beneficial deeply for myself, that will bring a lot of liberation, be it enlightenment, be it a deeper revelation of Christ in me, that I am Christ in the sense that I'm an adopted son, as Ephesians 1 would say. Whatever it is, I don't know, this whatever it is, it will be beneficial for me, but equally as important now, with any religion. And it's so easy to be so self-absorbed. It will be beneficial for others. For example, I I want to get to a point where I'm where I don't need to think about the art and practice of Tonglen, which is basically a meditation which you visualize generally. Well, in my case, I visualize someone who causes me anxiety. Could be a family member, could be a client. And you breathe in their suffering, and you breathe out blessings, light, and peace upon them. And in that way, you produce more compassion, more kindness towards that person, but also towards yourself. And it removes and it deflates the mental projection of that person in your mind. It doesn't happen overnight, but bit by bit, you gradually see a decrease. And I believe that is to be very good mental health, if anything. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be fully sanctified and being with Christ in heaven. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be fully enlightened and going to Nirvana and stuff like that. They're good aspirations. But perhaps more important is these things, because the goodness that you show now will eventually lead to those things, either through the linear experience of sanctification, which I believe is linear, after a conversation with someone on Facebook today about such matters, you know, where you do become fully sanctified and like Christ when you die and you're in heaven and there's no more sin in your life, or the spontaneous arising of being awakened, enlightened, whatever, in Buddhism. But they both thoughts, they do they do require sowing or a number of causes in order to produce that effect. You know, be it in one life with Christianity, that you only have one life and that's it, or through Buddhist and Hindu doctrine where everything's on a cycle, and what I do now is just sowing for a better life next time, in the sense of spiritual well-being. You know, getting closer to the source, I suppose. Well, closer to the source. I'm not sure what the search is, how close we need to get. Anyway, so I'm still questioning a lot of things, still thinking things through. But, and then one more thing, and I'll end it here, actually, because I've talked about the Tao. I've mentioned the Tao's name, but I've not talked about the things about the Tao. And first of all, you can't define the Tao, so I'm not even going to attempt to do that, because it would be futile, because the Tao that can be explained is not the true eternal Tao, which is what you read in chapter 1 of the Tao Te Ching, written by Lao Tzu. But there is a wonderful principle called Wu Wei, and it's the act of effortlessness, in the sense, how could I describe it? It would be like, right, so you're in a boat. You have two options in getting the boat to move. And it's just using all the things in your surroundings. You either use the oars to row the boat to the destination you want, or you open the sails up and let the wind take you there. And the Wu Wei aspect of this is opening up the sails and using the wind to sail your way over to that place. So, on a practical sense, for example, I remember meeting one client in my experience of a support worker. I had never met this person before, and this person was not very happy because, one, I was running extremely late. I didn't know where this person lived. This person got to the point where this person was absolutely erratic, because this person depends upon a routine and has a way of doing things, you know, perhaps autistic, but certainly very anxious. And what's worse was that this person couldn't undo the bath plug. And so what happened was that when I tried to undo the bath plug, I broke the chain. So not only was I late, but I broke the chain. And this person who's never met me before, and I was in their house, woof, didn't this person show some angry, crying, picked up the phone, made a complaint about me. Rather than reacting either by being angry and defensive or panic and get all anxious, I kept saying to myself, woo way, and I don't know what I meant by that, but it grounded me, and I just allowed myself to go with the flow of the current. You know, it was like almost like Tai Chi. You know, your movements are just so smooth, and they're just, it's like there's someone, an invisible force next to you, and you're just moving around with that invisible force, swaying and doing very gentle movements. I was doing that sort of thing, like I am now. I'm just kind of wooing and weighing. And in that way of responding, where I went with the flow, I didn't do anything. I just went with the flow. I didn't react. I was calm and I breathed. And I allowed this person to vent out all that stuff. And then I said, I'll be outside. I'll give you a few moments just to gather your thoughts. All that sort of stuff, right? That person, a little bit later, said, Dan, I'm really sorry about how I reacted just now. Normally, someone would shout at me. Normally, they wouldn't want to work with me. That sort of stuff. I said, it's okay. You know, the way what's been going on today, I can understand this is the way you're feeling. It's absolutely fine. And that person apologized, and it put us on and we had a great day out. And then a few weeks later, get to meet with that person again, and that person was like, yeah, I want to hang out with Dan and do stuff. And I was like, wow, awesome. So the principles of Wu Wei, go with the flow. Don't be an anchor in those moments. Just be the water, be the stream that flows with the current. Allow the wind just to push you that way. I'm sitting by a canal at the moment, and just watching the water flow. And the water, there's nothing I can see where not even one cubicle of water is deciding to push the other way. It's all going with the flow. Not a very popular idea in our in the Western culture. One person would say we'd have to be like salmon and swim upstream. And yeah, maybe that's true in some circumstances. Maybe you do have to be like that. But with practicing this Wu Wei principle, it seems that this is far more effective and far more kind. And you really get into, like for example, with the work I do, you really get into a person's mind and heart. And touch on the things that do matter and build that relationship and do things that will be good, you know? So anyway, cool, 28 minutes, that's not bad. But thank you for listening. This is a bit of a but from this, I hope that things will take shape. So I suppose this is more of an autobiography than anything else. I like to be topical, but I'm struggling to think of what topic to talk about. Because, to be honest with you, I'm humbled by how many educated, enlightened men and women are out there who can talk about these things far greater than I can and are far more qualified and experienced. And I wouldn't want to deceive anyone, that's for sure. But at the same time, I feel like I need to share stuff with people. I want to be a blessing to someone. So if this is useful to you, then great, you know. If anything, I hope it's just little guideposts that will inspire you to walk and do stuff, you know, that's just good for you, you know, to develop your spirituality, if it were. And yeah. May it bless you, and thank you for listening. Peace out.